Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, you beautiful people, to Geek K 3.0 Comics! I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Guys, I got a serious question.
Uh-huh.
When Aquaman has sex, does he release Landmen? Welcome to comics.
Damn it.
All right. Yeah, that's how we're kicking it off, boys.
All right, start
planning. I thought we were
4.0.
Leaving all that stuff in 2020.
Hey, you know, sometimes bad habits are hard to kick, and I like bad jokes.
All right.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Geek Cave 3.0. We've been kind of hyping it a little bit, and today's the day.
Yay!
Woo-hoo!
It's like when Winnie the Pooh budged in Rabbit's hole after eating too much honey. Today's the day. So we've changed up the format of the show a little bit. We're still gonna hopefully bring the funny.
Ish.
But before we get too much into it, what do you say we talk about our lovely little sponsors who aren't
yes,
so little?
Let's. Yeah.
So we got Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. Free shipping on all orders in the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything, quote, geek chic or chick. I'm never sure how you pronounce it.
End quote.
End quote. Find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Not to mention our other sponsor, Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games. Browse the collection of thousands of games for you to keep for as long as you want without worrying about late fees. Then when you're done, send them back in the postage paid envelope for a new one. And pay a lot less for those in-store prices and keep it forever. You know, whatever. You choose. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com.
Awesome.
Now that we got the business portion out of the way.
Jokes.
Hey, Darren.
Yes, Justin.
I hear you got something.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's my first time.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Motherfucker, I told you be gentle.
Whew, boy. My palms are sweaty, a little nervous.
It's something, like, something, mom spaghetti?
Yeah. I'm ready to drop bombs, but I keep on forgetting. No, wait, wrong thing. So, yeah. Everybody gets a new segment in 3.0, and for the comics segment, my little mini segment is Darren's First Time, where I'm taking a look at number ones. You know, those all-important issues that are supposed to grab you.
Because in Darren's world, number ones are never number two.
And he totally wasn't bullied into that title.
Totally not.
He was. Well, he picked it of his own volition. Chad and I had nothing to do with it.
Yep.
Well, he wrote the theme song. We just recorded it.
Oh, we're never going to get to the segment in this. Right.
Okay, so speaking of number ones being number two.
That's a good start.
Let's talk about Super Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
Okay, so you're
familiar I can already tell better you than me.
You're familiar with the web mobile game Angry Birds. It's everywhere. It's free on most devices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rovio Books decided to team up with IDW because reasons. It's written by Jeff Parker, art by Ron Randall. Let me give you the synopsis.
Oh, boy.
When New York City is in peril, only one team is brave enough, bold enough, mad enough to stand up and fight for the rights of its citizens. And by the way, it's has a, an apostrophe between IT and S, so for it is citizens. So there, that's great. They are the Super Angry Birds. And it starts off with a member of King Pig's gang. King Pig is Green Pig. Knocking over a pizza truck, you know, like a food truck. Cutting in front of a naked giant yellow bird in a trench coat. Not Big Bird. Because he wants a pizza. Turns out it has truffles. He's allergic to truffles. And now the pig gang is going to declare war on the small businesses of New York City. And the birds, we got the guy in the yellow, guy in the trench coat, not named Streaker, he's named Chaser, he's got super speed. Red is the leader, looks like they just took Wally West Flash and put a bird head on him, so that's good. You got Thunderbird, who's, well, he's just big fucking bird. And then you got Bomb, who, yeah, that's my one. Then you got Bomb, who is literally what he sounds like. And the issue is about these bird vigilantes who are starting to gain public attention, and King Pig is trying to lean on the publisher of the Eagle's Eye, and the bird that publishes it is named Liberty Eagle, and I'll just let you figure out what kind of bird that is.
Okay.
He leans on him, eventually decides to change his mind because at one point Red saves a baby in the middle of like this big street fight. There's rubble falling everywhere, and just randomly baby just crossing the street, hands and knees. And
wait, the baby is crossing the street by itself.
By itself. Yeah. So,
okay.
So he brought in his powerful friends and started making it clear to the pigs. The birds are back in town and they are angry.
The birds are back in town. The birds are back in
town.
You guys,
I don't know of a better book to start this segment off with because it can only go up from here.
Oh, you dear sweet boy.
No. Oh. Don't ruin this for me. The art is fine. You know, it's what I expected from a book called Super Angry Birds. You know?
Super Angry Bird is.
Yeah. Oh, I've read worse, but I don't remember when. So.
Oh, wow.
But you don't have to take my word for it, Q. LeVar Burton. You can just head to the Comixology app and download the first issue for free. And I pray to God that you have more fun than I did.
And then delete it.
Ba-dun-dun.
Oh. So what was the name of the city?
New York. YOLK.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you said.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'm deleting this from my iPad right now. There we go. Yeah.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah, you don't want that showing up in your Google search.
Yeah, I held the iPad up to the microphone. It's fine.
Well, we want to make sure that our listeners see it.
Yes. When you download Angry Birds, Super Angry Birds 1, use incognito mode.
So that was my first time. I feel a little uncomfortable and embarrassed. So, yeah, about like normal.
Oh, delightful. I think I need a cigarette. And I don't smoke. Oh. Darren, thank you. Thank you for that.
I almost hate to ask, Chad, do you have anything for comics?
Well.
Oh, boy.
This is Chad's manga moment.
Now, hold on. This is, guys, this is really hard to read. I've almost finished it. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to read it backwards? Son of a...
This has been Chad's manga moment.
Oh. Thank you, Chad. That was quite insightful.
I don't know what I expected, but I'm happy with what I got.
Darren, second time. Better than the first.
Darren, second time. Darren comes again.
Okay.
We're setting new standards here today.
Woo! Whether they're high or low, you decide.
Darren's third time. It's a high seas adventure. Seamen abound.
So please leave us a 5-star review in your favorite podcast service.
It really helps us out.
It does.
Yeah, we like looking at them.
The stars are pretty. Oh. Well.
Oh. Well, this has been fun, guys. I guess we'll see you tomorrow. Justin's not going to have
any. Nope. It is now my turn.
All right.
And you, Chad, I know how much you love the long boxes because I pride myself on finding quality characters to talk about.
Well, to be fair, I usually don't know anything about them, and I do love to learn.
There you go. So, without further ado, Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
So, I'm kicking off the new year by talking about The Orb, created by Len Wein and Ross Andrew, first appearing in Marvel Team-Up's number 15, 1973. Drake Shannon was an accomplished motorcycle stunt rider. He owned half of the Traveling Motorcycle Stunt Show, which would later feature Johnny Blaze, you know, Ghost Rider. The other half of the show was owned by Blaze's mentor, Crash Simpson. While the partnership was initially amiable, the two grew apart and eventually an intense rivalry developed. But neither wanted to work with each other, but neither wanted to sell their half of the show. To settle the dispute, the two men agreed to a lengthy race, with the winner receiving full ownership. After many miles of neck-and-neck competition, Shannon deliberately swerved towards Simpson in an effort to force him to crash. However, the maneuver caused Shannon to lose control of his motorcycle. And while Simpson managed to stay upright and continue the race, Shannon slid 25 yards on his unprotected face.
Oh.
The accident left him hideously disfigured.
No.
Really?
As you do. After his recovery, for reasons never adequately explained, Shannon was given a powerful motorcycle helmet by, quote, those who wield power, end quote.
I bet I know why he was given it.
The helmet was modeled to look like a giant eyeball and could hypnotize people, and later it could shoot powerful laser beams out of its pupil.
Hold on. I need another drink of coffee for this.
Are you sure that's coffee?
It is. All right, my dude.
Calling himself The Orb, Shannon attempted to take over the traveling stunt show. He put dozens of lives in danger, and informed Johnny Blaze, now the new owner, that he would let the hostages go unharmed in exchange for ownership of the show. Blaze agreed, but Shannon instructed his minions to kill the hostages anyway, so that no one would know how the ownership changed hands. At this point, Johnny Blaze becomes Ghost Rider, and he teams up with Spider-Man to defeat him.
Why does Ghost Rider ever have to team up with anyone? Curious?
Because it's Ghost Rider, and he's not that great.
Yeah.
That hurts me.
And it's Marvel. Every Marvel comic series is contractually bound to have Spider-Man show up at least once.
Or Wolverine,
yes.
Okay.
The Orb goes on to become a professional criminal and returns several times, always plotting to get revenge on Ghost Rider. He infects Roxanne Simpson, the former wife of his partner, or the wife of his former partner, with amnesia, and battled Ghost Rider once more. He is later revealed to be a pawn of those who wield power. And alongside Madame Menace, he battled Ghost Rider once again. At one point, he also crossed paths with Hawkeye. Battled Hawkeye and discovered Plant-Man's mobile plant growing factory, and was shot by Plant-Man's stimuloids.
That happens.
Okay. So the second orb...
Wait, we're... Okay.
Oh no, Mon Frere. There's a sequel.
I feel like I should have been taking notes. Is there going to be a test?
Maybe.
Okay.
The second orb first appeared in Ghost Rider 26 in October of 2008. The successor to the original orb, he was born with a head that resembled a giant eye.
Mm-hmm.
And was abandoned at a young age and grew up in a freak show. After performing a number of unidentified jobs, this orb was hired to take down Caretaker alongside Blackout 2, Death Ninja, and Doghead. Blackout alleged that the orb was killed by the Caretaker, but it was later revealed that he was merely hospitalized with, and I quote, massive eye trauma.
Did it?
Yeah, keep going. I think I'm okay. Oh. I'm okay.
Oh.
Is it supposed to hurt?
Yes, it is.
A little bit.
This second orb is notable for the fact that he almost never stopped talking, much to the frustration of both his teammates and enemies, and that while he always boasted of his prowess with his repulsor ray, he never actually successfully hit anyone with it.
Sure.
He resurfaced in the Astonishing Spider-Man and Wolverine miniseries Robbing a Bank, which sent them skipping through time with some glowing diamonds. I think Darren talked about that at one point.
Yeah.
Eventually, he gained some understanding of the time travel, but was apprehended by the Minutemen before he could put that knowledge to use. He later appeared with a group of minions in eye-based masks, having just stolen the eyes of a group of people at a bank. Yes, clearly insane. He claimed that he rolled around naked in the eyeballs, regarding the eyes as windows to the soul, that he could gather power from them before his rematch with Ghost Rider. He claimed that he could see the true selves of the Hulk and Red She-Hulk when he looked into their eyes, describing Betty's conflicting relationship with her father and recognizing that a monster was behind Hulk's eyes and that it was not Hulk himself.
Uh-huh. You know, every word that you said individually made some sense, and then you strung them together.
So in the wake of the Watcher's murder in the 2014 miniseries Original Sin, Orb was discovered to be in possession of one of the Watcher's eyes, which he had merged into his chest.
I read this, and I read the full storyline, and I still don't understand a bloody bit of it.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's everything you never wanted to know about the orb.
I feel so educated, and yet somehow worse.
I want to thank our sponsor, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today, and Gamefly, video games delivered. Oh, please take a minute to leave us a review of your podcast service of choice. We appreciate it. Also, drop us a line on Facebook and Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to listen to our other podcasts, the gaming and movie segment, and our other shows. You want me to watch what? Retromantics, Geek Cave Plays, and Too Long Didn't Read.
We're just busting out all over here.
Yep. And now here is your out of context comic book panel. Some things never change. We see Batman vigorously rubbing the face of what appears to be a woman with a cloth. The caption reads, "The makeup wax is quickly rubbed off. Let go of me! Quiet, or pop a spank." Yes, that's what it said.
Yep.
For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the wonderful world of comics, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.